Welcome everybody to the Hip Hop Hour on the radio. Today we got Joel Osteen, 2 hour special. And then also at the end of the show, I will announce my guest appearances for this week. Stay tuned. Let's go.
God bless you and welcome to Lakewood. We are always honored to have our awesome online family and all of you listening live by SiriusXM. We pray for you every single day. 2023 is going to be a bountiful year in your life. God saw you take the time to tune in, and we are blessed to have you.
You know, you guys are so important to us. We may never meet you, but we want you to know how important you are. Knowing you're out there, knowing you're listening, knowing you're soaking in the Word of God just makes this so much better. We are better because you're watching. So thanks so much. You're going to have a great time in this service.
This is a new day. I'm calling out the mighty hero. The forces that are for you are greater than any force that's trying to stop you.
And we believe today, God, that you will do what only you can do.
He calls you a barrier breaker, a prized possession.
Welcome to Lakewood. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are ready to worship the Lord this morning? And God's been good to all of us. And I think you feel like me, the fact that we woke up this morning. God gave us breath to breathe. And we can say like David, it's another day the Lord has made. So thanks for coming out today. I know the service would not be as good without you being here and our online family, as I already mentioned. And so many listen live on SiriusXM. But it's always our prayer and our declaration that not one of us are going to leave the same way that we came. I mean, God saw you took the time to drive or to turn it on, or there's other stuff you could be doing, but you know, you said like David, I'm going to the house of the Lord. So I believe today that you're going to receive everything you need to receive. Really, it's not even, you know, I got to get something now. God, I'm going to be like a sponge. I'm going to soak up your goodness, your joy, your peace. Whatever you need. The scripture says in God's presence is fullness of joy. So I hope you'll do what I tell myself every morning, and especially every service. You know, anything negative, what somebody said, or, you know, what you could be worried about, or a challenge you have in the future, or a mistake in the past. Every morning we're going to let that go. And God, I say I'm starting afresh and anew today with faith and favor and joy, knowing that you're on the throne. And see, here's what I've learned. If you let go of the old, God will give you the new. But sometimes we're holding on to old. And you know what? God wants to do a new thing in our life. Let today be a new beginning. And let me tell you, as you give God praise, he's going to fill you afresh and anew with everything you need today. And like I already said, you're going to leave better than you came. But thanks so much for coming out today.
Amen. It is so good to see you this morning. Doesn't it feel good to get to church? Come into the house of the Lord. Every effort that you put in getting here, God saw it. God says that he will crown your efforts with success. Because you're here today, God's going to put a blessing on your life. Because you're listening today, I believe God's got a special blessing for your life. Because God wants to crown what we do for him with success. So I just want to encourage you today, whatever is going on in your life, whatever you need from God, he's got it. He's got it. He's got a plan. He is a faithful God. It is easy to look at the problems. It's easy to look at the things that are going wrong. But I just want to remind us today to look at a faithful God. I know you can look through your life and you can see his faithful hand all along the way. And if he did it then, he is going to do it again. So I just want to encourage all of us to rest in his presence. You know, we are so busy during the week. There's so much going on, so many noises, so many voices. But when we come to the house of the Lord and we're in the presence of Almighty God, it's a time to rest. It's a time to recharge our battery. It's a time to clean out the clutter and let God fill us with his goodness, his mercy, and his promises. And today I want to encourage all of us to do something. I believe God's going to speak a word. There's going to be something said. There's going to be something that resonates in your heart, and I want you to hold on to it. I don't want you to let it go. I want you to go out those doors and say, God, that was for me. And whatever tries to talk you out of it, you're going to say, uh-uh, this is for me. I came to the house of the Lord. God spoke a word into my life, and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to be faithful no matter what the situation looks like. I'm going to be faithful because I serve a faithful God. Amen. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you that we could get up in this morning. Thank you that we could come together as a body of believers. And Father, we want our faith to be activated. We want you to see our faith. And maybe, Father, there is someone in this room that is desperate. We join our faith with them right now. If you're watching online, we join our faith with you right now. Whatever you need from God, we believe he can turn the tide of the battle today, that he can do what only he can do. So, Father, we thank you in advance for the miracles that are taking place in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
this verse found in Psalm 145. The author writes, I lift you high and praise my God. I'll bless you every day, for God is magnificent and he can never be praised enough. God has been so good and so gracious towards us. He's shown us his faithfulness, his mercy, and his love time and time again. And he is worthy of all our praise. And just like this verse says, he's worthy not just for what he has done, but he is worthy for simply who he is. Magnificent, with no boundaries to his greatness. He's the creator of the universe. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's almighty and all-powerful, and he is great and greatly to be praised. And what's so amazing to me, what never ceases to amaze me, is that even with how great he is, even though the heavens and the earth declare his majesty, he is honored when we worship him. Among all his creation, he's exalted when we sing, oh, how worthy is our God. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your worship. That's why the psalmist says, I just can't praise him enough, because he is so good and because he is worthy of it all. Amen. We've written a song that declares just that. So this morning, let's worship him together as we sing, how worthy is our God. Yeah.
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh,
you today. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we believe that what we're singing, that you're on the throne, that you're mighty, that you're powerful, that you're worthy to be praised. Lord, we're not here with a sad song. We're here with a song to thank you for all that you've done, a song of victory. But Lord, we know who we are and we know whose we are. We thank you, Lord, that you handpicked each one of us, that we're not here by accident. that you've equipped us, empowered us, anointed us, Lord, that we are well able to do what you've called us to do. Lord, today we come back to a place of peace, a place of trust. We thank you that you've got us all in the palm of your hand, that there's nothing we're facing that's a surprise to you, Lord, that you already have solutions to problems. You already have ways to bring dreams to pass and ways to turn situations around. So, Lord, our trust is in you. We say it publicly that you're our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Make us and mold us into who you want us to be. Father, I thank you that you're going before us right now, making crooked places straight, rough places smooth, opening right doors and closing wrong doors. That you're bringing the right people across our path, and Lord, weed out those that shouldn't be there. Help us to make decisions that honor you, that move us toward our God-given destiny. Father, I thank you as we're worshiping you this morning that every force that's tried to stop us has been broken in the name of Jesus. Depression, anxiety, addiction, sicknesses, trouble at work, at home, in our finances. Lord, I thank you today is a breakthrough day, that you're doing what only you can do. I speak victory over your people and strength and peace, Lord God. I thank you that you're doing new things. That 2023 won't be a get-by, make-it-through year, but it'll be a bountiful year, a productive year, a favor-filled year. Lord, take us where we can't go on our own. You've done it in the past, but Lord, we believe the best is still yet to come. So, Lord, today we enlarge our vision. We take the limits off of you, Lord, and we thank you that you're in control, that you're breathing in our direction. Lord, I do lift up those that are fighting battles in their health. Some couldn't make it today, watching from the hospital. Lord, I thank you right now that you're sending healing to all those that need it. Lord, I thank you. You said you'd restore health back to your people, that you can do what medicine cannot do. Lord, I thank you even today the tide would begin to turn in our health, that we just receive it by faith, coming into our body now, healing power into our bones, our joints, our ligaments, our cells, our tissues. Lord, I thank you with long life you will satisfy us. We will run and not be weary in Jesus' name. And Lord, not just physically, but I lift up those that are in tough times, those that have gone through loss. Father, you said you're close to the brokenhearted. Let them feel your presence right now. Let them know that we're praying for them. Lord, even though it feels like it's the end, I think that you'll begin to breathe new life into them and fresh vision. New beginnings. Lord, just doing what only you can do. You said weeping endures for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. So, Lord, I think of the joy is on the way in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for giving us another week, another day to be alive. And, Lord, we bless you today. We thank you, Lord, no matter what's coming against us, that you are bigger, you are greater, that we are victors and never victims in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen today? Awesome to have you in the house of the Lord today. And you know, one way we release our faith is through our words. And that's why every service, I like to make this declaration of faith. Because you know, sometimes, you know, life comes against you. And if you're not careful, you know, the psalmist said, God put a watch over my tongue. Well, we can speak defeat over us. But I like every week for us to get in agreement with God and say what he says about us. So as we make this declaration today, let these words just sink down into your spirit. And we believe and declare they will all come to pass. Are you ready? I am blessed, prosperous, redeemed, forgiven, healthy, whole, talented, creative, confident, secure, disciplined, focused, prepared, qualified, motivated, valuable, free, determined, equipped, empowered, anointed, accepted, and approved. Not average, not mediocre. I am a child of the Most High God. I will become all I was created to be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And if we can just keep that down in our spirit, what God says about us, one thing that rises up in me is God said there's no good thing will he withhold because you walk uprightly. And I think it's important to see ourselves as a no lack person. In other words, sometimes we think, well, I'm at a disadvantage. Man, Joe, if I was more talented, I could be successful. If I was, come from a different family, a different nationality, I didn't have this medical report. But let me tell you, you have everything you need to fulfill the purpose that God has put before you. And, you know, I think the key is you got to see yourself as anointed, equipped, empowered. And I'm sure David, when he faced Goliath, he thought, God, the guy's twice as tall as me. All I got's this slingshot. He's got a sword and a spear. But let me tell you, a slingshot with God's favor will bring down giants in your life. You have everything you need to fulfill your destiny. Let's get rid of the excuses. Let's take the limits off of God. And here's another thing, because I think many times we know God can do everything, but take the limits off of yourself. You have everything you need to live a victorious life. I believe as you keep honoring God, you're going to see things rise up in you that you didn't even know you had. You're going to see God take you places that you've never dreamed. And I know one thing that causes God to work, that allows God to work, is this spirit of expectancy. I think about David. He said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know, he could have said, you know, I hope something good's going to happen to me. Maybe something good this year. Listen to how confident he was. Surely goodness is on the way. Surely God's going to open up some new doors. Surely I'm going to break this addiction. Another place he said, I am confident I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In other words, when we go to heaven, we're going to see God's goodness. But how about in 2023? God, I'm expecting you to show out in my life. I'm expecting to be a bigger blessing. Let me tell you, God's going to do some unusual, uncommon things. It's what we're talking about, letting hope rise, letting faith rise. You don't see a way, but God has a way. He's breathing in your direction right now. You and God are a majority. Stay in that attitude of faith and watch what God is going to do in Jesus' name. Well, we'll take a moment to pray today, guys, in person. If you're here in person and you want prayer, there'll be a prayer partner at the front of your section, the back of your section. Anyone's welcome to come for prayer during this next song. We'd be honored to pray for you. And rest of you, you're welcome to be seated if you'd like. And our family online and listen live on SiriusXM, beautiful Victoria is going to be out there to pray for you as well. But thanks for being with us. We love you guys.
We are so glad that you have joined us for this time of prayer. We want to agree with you on what you are believing God for today. You know, there's power in prayer. It says in James that the prayer of the righteous brings amazing results. So I want you to know that today your prayers, your looking to God is going to bring amazing results. And so we as a church body want to agree with you for what you're believing for. So if you have a prayer request, you can put it in the chat right now because we want to pray for you not only now, but we have prayer partners who will lift you up during the week. So we want you to know that, you know what? As a body of believers, we're going to agree together and we're going to believe that God hears us because he says that he bends down to hear those who call out to him. Right now, I want you to stir your faith with some praise reports. You know, praise reports and testimonies are a wonderful way to build people's faith. So if God's done something for you, man, tell people about it. Sometimes we go through difficulties and God turns it around, and then we can use that pain for a purpose to help someone else. So know today that your testimony is important, and you need to share it with those who are in your sphere of influence, who need to hear that word from God. But we've got a couple of praise reports, and they're really just about hearing the word of God and having their faith stirred up. We have Annette who's been watching the broadcast since 2015. We have Cheryl. She says, I've been watching since 2019 and my life has changed. Both of them are saying that their life has been so enriched by hearing the word of God and being able to obey that word. You know, the scripture says that God gives us power to obey. He helps us to do the right things. He helps us to do the things that we are even longing in our heart to do. So know today, when you get the word of God in you, you got treasure in you. You can pull that word out. You can pray it. You can declare it over your and your family's life, and it makes a difference. So thanks so much for those prayer requests, Anita and Cheryl. We've also got prayer requests for family needs.
Lynn wants a better relationship with her stepchildren. I love that. I love that so much because she has a desire to have a relationship and to mend her relationship. And, you know, I believe that relationships are one of the greatest things in life. We can have so many things, but if we don't have people to share it with and we don't have those good relationships, gosh, it doesn't mean a whole lot, right? We need each other. So I love that prayer, Lynn. Diane, for her grandson to be kept safe and to be healed. Grandmother's prayers are powerful prayers. So Diane, we are agreeing with you. And if you have a relationship issue or you have concerns over your children, your grandchildren, we're going to pray for those in just a moment. We have Anthony who needs an approval for a new home. So we're going to believe that finances are going to come in for you, Anthony, that the approval is going to go in and be approved. It's going to get to the right hands. That's what I want to pray, that that paperwork will get into the right hands and that you will be approved for that loan. And, you know, we have those things, our job applications. We have all these things that are sometimes in the hands of someone else. But you know what? It's God's ultimate hand that gives us the favor. So I'm believing for favor. If you have any need for favor in your finances, in a job, in a promotion, in an approval, I declare and decree that you have the favor of God. We have Susan, her friend Carmen is battling cancer. We have Karen for strength as she begins radiation and chemo this week. Wow. You know what? I believe that not only are you healed by the power of God, but you've got the courage and the peace to walk through, to walk out this healing. So I just declare if you are sick today in your body that you have the strength to be healed because you have the faith that's going to rise up from that strength. And I know that just to be able to put that in the chat, to be able to put that prayer request in, took a lot of courage. And sometimes we get weary and we think I need someone to pray with me because I feel like I just can't pray. Well, I want you to know you got a body of believers and people who are even listening that are lifting you up, Susan and Karen and all those who are suffering with any kind of illness in their body or mental fatigue, a mental illness. We're going to pray for you right now. So I can't get to every prayer request. But God knows exactly what you need, and He's the one who brings the healing, the deliverance. He's the one who breaks addictions. He's the one that touches your life and helps you with those habits, mending those relationships. Right now, I speak in the name of Jesus that whatever your need is, that God is going before you, making crooked places straight. He is multiplying His favor in your life. He is divinely healing you. Just like the woman who reached out with the bleeding in her body. She'd been sick for so long. As you're reaching out to Him today, I believe His power is being released in your life. You know, we've got to stir our faith up to believe and hold on to the promises of God. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today. As I declare healing and breakthrough and deliverance over you today, that you would receive that for yourself. That you would take hold of it and say, I am healed. My breakthrough is coming. Relationships are being mended. Whatever it is today, I want you to declare out in your heart, in your mind, or even out loud that, Lord, I believe you. Hear my prayers today. I believe you're a faithful God. You're not looking at me. You're not looking at what I've done wrong. You're not holding anything against me, but you see me as your precious child. And I believe as you do that, as you lift your eyes to God, that He will bring about what you need. He will give you the strength. He will give you the courage. He will give you the favor in Jesus' name. We love you so much. And we want you to know we're not going to break our agreement. We are in faith with you. So let's stand strong together.
You know, I love this space where we get the opportunity to pray with one another, to extend our faith, join our faith, and believe for miracles. Whether you're here in the building or you're watching online or even listening by way of Sirius XM radio, it's a powerful moment. And the needs are real personal. But what I've discovered, especially lately, even this morning, is a lot of people that I pray with personally that are waiting for something to take place in their life, waiting for a promise to transpire. They've asked in faith, but now they're waiting. And when you're waiting, it can get tiring, can it? You can begin to grow fatigue. Faith fatigue is what I would call it. And I just believe that today, we're going to hear a story in just a moment from a couple, from a family that's going to inspire your faith. But I think it's going to be relevant because I would probably bank on the fact that there are many things in your life that you've been believing for that are taking longer to happen than you thought they would. You prayed, you released your faith for your healing, your marriage, your financial situation, but things aren't changing. In fact, you may see nothing moving, nothing shifting. You're faced with closed doors. You see, it's easy during these times to question the promise giver, isn't it? To grow weary, to grow tired. In Mark chapter 5, we meet a man named Jairus. Jairus is a religious leader. And Jairus is desperate. He's desperate because he has a 12-year-old daughter who is deathly ill. So he discovers that Jesus is nearby and he goes to find him. And when he gets Jesus' attention, he asks Jesus if he'd come and meet with his daughter and heal her and touch her. He has faith to ask. Jesus agrees. And they begin to make their journey back to his house, but on the way they find themselves engulfed by a huge crowd. And in the middle of this huge crowd, a woman with a 12-year-old bleeding issue pushes her way through the crowd and possibly bumps into Jairus. And by faith, she pulls on the robe of Jesus and pulls healing power from him, and she is instantly healed. A miracle takes place. I mean, this is a powerful moment. Jesus even silences everybody, stops the crowd, and has this intimate personal conversation with her. Now, I want us to pause for a moment because I have a question. It seems to me that the focal point of the story has just changed. We started with Jairus and his 12-year-old issue, but now the camera has focused and is now pointing at this new issue, this new problem. While all this is happening, what was Jairus doing? When the scene changed, where was Jairus? What happened to his need? It seemed as if he's been pushed back into the background of someone else's miraculous moment. Jairus was watching as his hopes were disrupted, and every second was counting for his daughter. Now, can we be real in church? I think there are times in our lives where we feel as if we've been pushed to the background and we're witnessing someone else's miracle. Huh? You've been praying for a spouse and your best friend calls you and talks about this divine connection, this divine hookup where she just gets booed up and you've been praying for 5 years for a spouse. Hello? Your partner at work, coworker in the cubicle, you put your resume in for the promotion and they call you all excited and happy because they just got the job that you were praying for. It's like you want to celebrate, but it's too close. It's a little too close. Jairus is in the same spot. A 12-year-old issue is getting solved and he has his own 12-year-old issue. And as he is waiting, he has a choice to stay or to leave. And although it would have been easy to leave, he had good reasons to give up. Had Jesus forgotten about what he promised he would do? Did he change his mind? Was this a no, a closed door? Perhaps this woman took the only 12-year-old miracle off the shelf of Jesus' inventory. On top of all that, all the mind games he's working through, his own friends even come and say, hey, stop bothering Jesus. There's no hope for your daughter. We just got word she passed away. Despite all this, church, Jairus waited and he stayed and he kept his eyes on Jesus and he trusted him. After Jesus heals this woman, He turns and he looks back and he discovers Jairus waiting. He's still there. I think Jesus sometimes is wondering, are you still going to be there? Are you still going to wait? Are you still going to worship? Are you still going to show up to church? Are you still going to lift your hands? You're going to ask in faith, but do you have the capacity to stay in faith? And he says to Jairus, don't be afraid. I know you think it's over. I know others are trying to talk you out of it. I know you're sick of waiting, but stay in faith. I haven't forgot about you. Take me to your house. They walk directly to his house, and when they arrive, Jesus took Jairus and his wife and a few of his disciples, went into the room where the girl was. She was lying lifeless, but he grabs her hand and the girl gets up. And she immediately stood up and walked around the house. This church was a miracle. And everyone present was amazed. They couldn't believe what was happening. It was more than Jairus could ask, think, or imagine. Now this is the power of someone who shows us the significance of asking faith. But just as important, someone who displays staying faith, what it means to stay in faith. Now, what if Jairus were right here today? What would he say to us? How would he encourage us about this delay that he saw and he experienced? I'm sure he would say initially he struggled. He thought Jesus forgot about him. But obviously after experiencing the full chain of events, he would tell us that the interruption was purposeful. That he was glad he didn't listen to people who told him that he was crazy. I think he would say, Jesus doesn't always answer on our timeline, but he always answers on time. And there's a difference. He would say it was worth the wait. What's powerful about this whole thing is that Jairus asked for a healing, but what he experienced was a resurrection. The miracle was much greater than he thought. While he was waiting, the miracle was growing. Friends, I'm here to declare over your life today, while you're waiting on your promise, God is working, God is moving, God is preparing the promise, and guess what? It's going to be bigger and better than you could ever imagine. Oh, church, I wish you'd get your hopes up. I wish you'd get your faith up, because God is about to show out in your life. Staying faith. My good friend Brian Learden and his wife Sonia know firsthand what this truth is all about. Watch this.
Our heart for adoption really began separately before we were even together, but we didn't talk about it or discuss it until we were married and began to discuss starting a family. And we realized that separately, we had both had a desire to adopt. And so God went on to deliver two beautiful children through Sonia, and that desire remained. So yeah, we embarked on what ultimately turned out to be a 2.5-year journey. And it's pretty in-depth for those who haven't gone through it. It's very involved. We received a lot of no's. And when I say a lot of no's, hundreds of no's. And your heart breaks a little every time. It was a long journey. And through that journey, we unexpectedly found out that Sonia was pregnant, and this was 2 years into our adoption journey. And, you know, at that moment you start to think, this is why it was all those closed doors. This is what it's leading to. And about halfway through the pregnancy, Sonia began to encounter some pain and discomfort, and I could just tell she was feeling bad. Shortly after, she was rushed to the hospital, and we lost the child, and it was a very difficult time for us.
I felt, you know, sad and angry and confused for a long time. But I also had hope that there was something better on the other side, and I believed that.
You know, we grieved, and we met with some friends from the church and grief counselors and prayer partners. And I'll never forget one of the prayer partners that we met with. We had a really great conversation, and, you know, we were talking about things and praying together. And at the end of it, we turned to her and said, what do you have for us? What does God have on your heart? And she said, what I'm hearing is surrender. This, we had been trying to pray the storm away. And we realized at that point, no, surrender. You're in the storm because God's going to use this storm to take you somewhere. February 19th will go down as a very, very special day in our lives. It's a little bit of a rush with two kids trying to make it to the early service. And so we get down there, and Pastor Joel went on to give an awesome message about how there's things in your life that have been planned for generations.
You don't know what God is up to. You don't know what you're about to step into, the doors that will open, the opportunity that will come, the favor that will find you. God's been working for generations to move you into your purpose. You haven't seen, heard, or imagined what He has in store.
We get out to the garage and we're putting our kids in the car, and everyone gets in the car, and I'm just about to get into the car, and the phone rings, and it's a number that I don't recognize, which is unusual on a Sunday. And I picked it up, and they said, "Congratulations, you've been chosen." And it was an unbelievable moment. There's this picture of this little 9-month-old baby girl, and the eyes that looked into my eyes at that moment, my spirit at that moment knew. I said, that's our child. The exact same spot that we had tears of sorrow just a few months earlier were tears of joy. Just the level of joy in this household has been through the roof since. And we hope, as people see Sky walking around church, us holding Sky, that they see that. That's the message that they see when they see Sky, that things are going to be greater than you ever imagined. Let the storm take you to where God has intended it. Don't fight it. There's sustaining faith and there's delivering faith. And a lot of times we find ourselves, "God, please deliver me from the storm." When in reality, we should be praying, "God, sustain me and allow this storm to take me where you have it planned for me."
Amazing church. Meet Ariabella and little Trust. And there's the promised Sky right there. She is so beautiful. Brian and Sonia, we're so worshiping with you guys, celebrating with you guys. Brian, I know hearing your story, obviously you talk about you guys believing for a miracle and going through the adoption process, but experiencing 100 no's or more. Talk to someone today or encourage someone who may be faced with a lot of no's, or what they're believing for feels like it's taking forever. It's not quite on the timetable they'd hoped for, but what would you say to them?
Yes, I'd love to take a moment to encourage you. You know, some might be thinking, "You don't understand how long I've been waiting. You don't understand how long I've been praying. You don't understand the number of closed doors that I've faced or how old I am." But I want to encourage you with this, not just our story, but this scripture. John 13:7 says this, "Right now you do not realize what I am doing, but soon you will understand." Let that sink deep within your spirit. "Right now you do not realize what I am doing, but soon you will understand." Brothers and sisters, as we stood in this very building, worshiping, praising, singing, dancing, believing, hoping, and we left this building, before I could open the door to our car, my phone rang, and the promise was suddenly fulfilled.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The yes suddenly arrived. The answer to our prayers had suddenly arrived. And I believe there's some suddenlies amongst us today. I believe there's some suddenlies under the sound of my voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to encourage you, no matter how long it's been, how long you've been praying, how old you are, just as God did it for us, He can do it for you. And I believe soon you will understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. I want to ask this question today. Maybe you've been believing, like Brian just said. And oftentimes you get weak. The Bible doesn't say if, but when you get weak, when you experience a little faith fatigue, to take a new grip on your faith. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a new grip on our faith for the thing that you've been believing for the promise that you feel like God has put on your heart to believe for. So if you right now can think of that thing, maybe it's financial, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's something that relates to Brian and Sonia with kids. I don't know what it is in your life, but I want you to slip your hand up real high. If there is something that you've been staying in faith for, that you need to take a new grip of faith for that thing, lift your hand up, and we're just going to believe together, both here and online and by way of radio, that God's going to show up and do something amazing. Father, I join my faith with Brian and Sonia, and we just believe and declare in Jesus' name that what you're believing for is on the way. I declare in Jesus' name a new level of strength, faith, and hope again over your life. The promises of God over your life are in motion, and you're going to experience these prepared blessings and miracles sooner than you expected. Like Brian and Sonia, you're going to see and experience the goodness of God. If you believe it and you receive it, church, can you say amen? Amen. God bless you this morning.
I believe that what God promised you is on the way. Hey, thanks so much for being with us at Lakewood today. We love you guys. We'll take a moment to receive our tithes and our offerings and our donations. And we just appreciate your generosity. We're in a season called Hope Rising. One thing Brian did, he let hope rise. He let faith rise. He believed that God was still working. And so that's what we're encouraging you in this next, well, always, but especially this next 3 weeks. I've never seen the opportunities that God has given us as a ministry to impact the world, to impact the culture. And we've made a great difference, giving God all the credit, but there's so much more that we can be doing. And I really believe that when God puts a bigger vision in the pastor's heart that's going to take more funding, that means he's going to bless the congregation in great ways. So all I'm asking you to do is stretch your faith.
Yeah.
God, let me be a part of Hope Rising. Let me impact the world in a greater way. It's not just us going to get the credit. It's all of us together. You're changing lives all over the world. And, you know, you've heard us talk about it. Lakewood started with 90 people. Look back 64 years later, and those 90 people were faithful. They served. They gave. They volunteered, just like you guys. And look what happened. Look what we are today. But what's in my heart is, where can we be 30 years from now as we all continue to be faithful and stretch our faith? Again, it's easy to be complacent. God's been good to us. He's been good to you. But I believe God wants us to go further and take new ground. And he's obviously raised, you know, this ministry up to impact the world. I mean, here we're sitting in the compact center. Who would have ever thought? But I really believe that, again, as God blesses the ministry, he's going to bless you as well. So I'm preaching to myself as I'm preaching to you. Joel, stretch your faith.
Yeah.
Take the limits off of God. Take the limits off of yourself. Our job is not our source. God is our source. He owns it all. And so we're just believing that you're going to see awesome things. And, you know, and as we finish the year, but especially this next 3 weeks, October 1st, we're going to have a celebration Sunday. Everything you're believing for, that's a day God's going to release some new dreams, release some favor, release some awesome things in your life. We believe it and declare in Jesus' name.
I love that so much because it gives me a sense of expectancy. Even hearing those words of what God wants to do and how faithful he is just lets hope rise in my heart. And I believe in these times we need to constantly carry and dream big with this hope. We have to carry hope with us all the time. God is faithful to his promise. He's faithful to every seed that you've sown. All the good things in your life, God is faithful for. He's the one who brings to pass all the good things in our life. So I know that as we continue to plant our seed, as we continue to be those farmers who plant, we can expect God to bring a great harvest in our life. I love being a part of something that's bigger than I am. We are truly better together. And when we join forces together, we can spread the gospel all over. We can be the light that God has called us to be. We want you to know that we need you and we love you. And together we can do amazing things.
I love that. Lord, I thank you for all of our awesome givers. Lord, you said you'd give seed to the sower. Give them more seed. God, show out in their lives. I thank you, Lord, just their gifts and talents will come out to the full. Forces that are trying to hold them down have been broken. And, Lord, that you're releasing them into increase, abundance, provision, supernatural income and increase, Lord. Just doing what only you can do. Contracts, businesses, opportunities. Lord, it's for your kingdom so we can take the gospel all over the world. Lord, bless those that are struggling in their finances. Thank you that even this week they'll see a turnaround, that opportunity will find them, that you will prosper them, that they will be in good health. In Jesus' name, God bless you today as you give.
Thank you for being a part of Hope Rising. Your giving is changing lives all over the world. Here are some ways you can give. Scan the QR code using your smartphone. Text Give Hope to 77977. Go online to lakewoodchurch.com/give. Or call us toll-free at 888-567-JOEL. Your giving is changing lives in our city. and all over the world.
Victory is here.
ready for overflow, guys? Come on, let's all stand together if you would, please. Wow, I love that, y'all. Thanks for coming out to Lakewood. Man, it's good to be in a house of faith, isn't it? You know, got a lot, not enough negative things in life. I want to be around some faith-filled people. Let me tell you, that person on your left and on your right, they're full of God. They're anointed. They're wearing a crown of favor. You're sitting by a VIP today. Only VIPs at Lakewood. Thanks for coming out, guys. You know, we are talking about, I said in the video, but you know, let's let faith rise. Let's take the limits off. We're not here by accident. God put us all here in his divine purpose, and I just pray every day, God, help us to use the influence you've given us in the most effective way. It's easy to be content, and I mean, we are content. That's not the right word. It's easy to be complacent. Say, God, look, you blessed us, man. We're worshiping in a basketball arena. But you know what? The world needs hope more than ever before. And so I believe he's put us all together for a reason. And I think I said it on the video. But you know what? As God blesses the ministry, he's going to bless you as well. I mean, you see that in Psalms. It says that oil that flowed off the leader, off of Aaron's beard, flowed to the people. It's the same way. Just get ready for overflow. Get ready for God to do new things. And, you know, it's not, you know, God just bless us. No, it's bless us so we can bring about the kingdom. You know, I believe God can trust you with finances and resources. And, you know, you're here every week. You're faithful. Now you just take the limits off. And God, like I said, let me be a part of this hope rising in a new way. Anyway, didn't mean to tell you it all again, but there it came out. But, you know, thanks for being with us. Hey, guys, this Wednesday night, we're going to have a whole night of worship right here in the main sanctuary. We have not had an in-person Wednesday night service since COVID, and so we thought we'd just take 90 minutes, and Victoria and I'll be here to speak blessings over you and over your health and worship and just thank God for what he's done. And be a great night if you can come out. I know some of you are not able to, but you can watch online. But we're going to have a great time. If you're visiting, I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be right back there in the bookstore lobby, and be my joy to shake your hand. But always honored to have you here at Lakewood. I'm going to ask, when you see yourself on the big screen, can you give our TV audience a great big Lakewood welcome? And God bless you. It's great to be with you today. And I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. But I'd like to start with something funny. And I heard about this elderly woman. She was at the store and accidentally locked her keys in the car. And she had a coat hanger, and she was trying and trying, but she couldn't get it open. She prayed and asked God to help her. About that time, this guy pulls up on a motorcycle, very rough looking, dressed in leather and tattoos, a skull cap. 15 seconds later, he had the car open. She hugged him and said, Lord, thank you for sending me such a nice man. He said, lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison for theft. She hugged him again and said, Lord, thank you. You even sent me a professional. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, you're welcome to. Matthew 4, 19, and then we'll put scriptures on the screen. But 2 o'clock this afternoon, it's our Spanish-speaking service. Going to be a great time. Our friends right down on the front, Elevation Rhythm in Spanish, is going to be here today. Pastor Stephen Furtick and Holly, and just Elevation Music. But that's going to be at 2 o'clock this afternoon, an awesome service. What do we have, y'all? Wednesday night, all the young people meet on the fourth floor. And Thursday night, the college students meet. And Wednesday night, the... that's good. I love the enthusiasm. But Wednesday night, I guess we'll all be in here together this Wednesday. But anyway, thanks for being here, guys. We honored to have you spend this time with us. I want to talk to you today about a masterpiece in the making. It's easy to get down on ourselves because we're not as far along as we want to be. We focus on our flaws and our shortcomings and why am I not more disciplined and
I'm still struggling with this addiction, being impatient, saying things I know I shouldn't say. Some people live with this nagging feeling on the inside, telling them something is wrong with them and how they don't measure up. But the scripture says, God is the potter and we are the clay. He controls the process, when we change, how fast we change. The key is to accept yourself while God is in that process of changing you. He's taking you from glory to glory. You have to learn to enjoy the glory that you're in right now. You're not supposed to go through life being against yourself, overanalyzing your faults. That doesn't help you do better. Focusing on your weaknesses doesn't help you improve. All that's doing is slowing down the process. We put all this pressure on ourselves to change. And I've got to be more focused. And I've got to watch my mouth. I've got to be a better mother, better spouse, better employee. And it's good to want to improve. We should strive for excellence and be growing. But don't get frustrated if it's not happening as fast as you would like. Some things only God can change. Until He gives you the grace to do it, you have to accept yourself where you are. It takes maturity to have peace in the process. Even though you have areas you need to improve in, you're not negative towards yourself. Your attitude is, God, I have these shortcomings. I want to change, but I trust you as the potter. I know at the right time, you'll give me the grace, but in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy where you have me right now. One thing that holds people back is they don't like who they are. There's this war going on the inside. But the problem with not liking you is you can never get away from you. You can get away from your cousin, your neighbor, your coworker, but you have to live with you. You get up with you. You eat dinner with you. You go to work with you. Shower with you. Take vacations with you. If you don't like yourself, life is going to be miserable. You may have some shortcomings. We all do. You may have areas you wish you'd overcome by now. We all do. The good news is you're not a finished product. God is still working on you. He has you on the potter's wheel, making you and molding you. It's not just up to you. You don't have to live under this constant pressure, striving, working, trying to measure up. God is the one who's in charge. You can relax and enjoy your life while God is in the process of changing you. Well, Joel, I'll feel good about myself when I lose 10 pounds. I'll like myself when I break the addiction, when I control my temper better, when I spend more time with my children. The problem with that approach is when you cross one thing off your list, something new will pop up. You overcome this weakness, and God will bring to light another area you can come up higher in. If you don't learn to enjoy yourself where you are, faults and all, you'll go your whole life feeling wrong on the inside, that vague feeling of disapproval. It's very powerful when you can say, I like myself. Yes, I have areas I need to improve in. There are things I need to do better, but I'm at peace with who I am right now. I accept myself. I approve myself. I am happy with who God made me to be. When you do that, despite your flaws, you give the enemy a nervous breakdown. He'd love for you to go through life focused on everything wrong with you, magnifying everything you don't like. He knows if you live against yourself, you will never reach your potential. You allow that condemning voice, convincing you that you're not up to par, that will keep you from becoming who you were created to be. And the scripture says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God is the author. He breathed life into you. He chose you to be here, gave you a purpose, an assignment, something to accomplish. He's not just the author, He's the finisher. He's going to keep making you, molding you, giving you grace to come up higher until He finishes. Now the key is don't give up in the middle. Don't get discouraged while you're being changed. He's in control. As long as you're being your best, you don't have to perform perfectly, but you have a heart to do what's right, then you can be assured when it's time to change, all the forces of darkness cannot stop you. But notice, there's a requirement for this to happen, looking away from all that will distract.
Focusing on your flaws will distract you from your purpose. Magnifying your weaknesses, what you don't like about yourself, will keep you from your potential. Look away from all that and look to your Maker. God told Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and approved you." Before Jeremiah ever did anything good, before he ever overcame a weakness, before he ever became a great prophet, God said, "I approved you and I've accepted you." We think when we perform better, then we can approve ourselves. When we get rid of these flaws, overcome this bad habit, be more patient, then we can feel good about who we are. God approves you. Why don't you approve yourself? He's not waiting for you to get better, then he's going to accept you. He knew every shortcoming, every weakness you would ever have. He said, "I still approve you." It's because he's the potter. He knows those flaws aren't going to keep you from your destiny. They don't stop your purpose. The only way they'll limit you is if you live down on yourself, feeling wrong, putting all this pressure, trying to change things that only God can change. Do your best and then rest. He's the potter. He'll work out things that shouldn't be there. Stay pliable. Be willing to change, but don't be down on yourself if it's not happening as fast as you would like. Give yourself permission to have some weaknesses. Give yourself the grace to not perform perfectly all the time. And I'm not saying to be sloppy, live flippant. We should dig down, have discipline, be focused, be growing. But don't live pressured, thinking that you have to make it all happen in your own strength. God told Jeremiah that he was going to become a great prophet and speak to nations. First thing Jeremiah said was, "God, I can't do that. I'm too young. I don't have the training. I wouldn't know what to say." He started looking at all of his shortcomings. "God, I'm not old enough. I'm not confident enough, secure enough, experienced enough." As long as he focused on that, he was stuck. God said to him, "Say not that you're too young. I will give you the words to speak. Do not be afraid of the people. Everywhere you go, I will be with you." God was saying, "Jeremiah, I'm the potter. I don't ask you to do things and then not give you what you need to do it. I've already approved you. I've already accepted you. I've already anointed you." Jeremiah had to change his thinking. Instead of, "I'm insecure, I have these weaknesses, I'm limited." No, I'm a child of the Most High God. He's approved me, so I'm going to approve myself. I'm accepted by the Creator of the universe, so I'm going to accept myself. He quit being down on himself, focusing on his faults, and he rose up and became a great prophet to the nations. What could you become if you had quit focusing on all the things you don't like about yourself and start approving yourself? How much further will you go? How much more will you enjoy your life if you'll take all the pressure off yourself to change and trust the potter? You may have some flaws, things you wish were different. So did Jeremiah. God didn't say, "Jeremiah, why are you so insecure, so intimidated? I had something great for you. I guess I'll have to find someone else." No, God said, "Jeremiah, I knew you would have weaknesses, but I've already approved you. I knew what you struggle with, but I'm the potter. It's no problem for me. I'll make you and mold you until you become who I've created you to be." Are you focused on your flaws, what you don't like about yourself? Or are you looking away from those distractions? Are you living pressured, thinking you have to make it all happen in your own strength, your own timing? Or are you trusting the potter, at peace with where you are while he's in the process of changing you? Paul said in Ephesians, "You are God's masterpiece." It's interesting, a masterpiece never makes itself. The Mona Lisa had a painter, Leonardo da Vinci. The Statue of David had a sculptor, Michelangelo. Without da Vinci, that's just an ordinary canvas, some paint, brushes, no big deal. Without Michelangelo, it's just a big piece of stone. Someone could have looked at it and thought, "Nothing special about this rock." What made the difference was the maker. The good news is you have a maker. You have a designer.
It's not Michelangelo. It's not Da Vinci. Your maker is the Most High God. It's not up to you to become a masterpiece. That's your maker's job. You don't have to strive and perform and live under all this pressure. You have a designer that's making you and molding you. He knows exactly what you need, when you need, where you need it. You can relax knowing that you're a masterpiece in the making. You may have some flaws, areas you need to do better in. You're not finished. The master is still at work. If you were to watch Da Vinci painting the Mona Lisa, there would be times that you'd think, that doesn't look like much. That's just a bunch of black over here and some random colors over there. Looks blah to us. But the artist has an advantage. He can see the picture in his mind. He knows what he's making. What looks like a mistake, a flaw, when he adds some more strokes, more color, definition, shadowing, it begins to make sense. When it all comes together, it becomes the masterpiece. It's the same way with our designer. There are strokes you may not understand, things that seem like flaws and weaknesses. And this color doesn't make sense. This bad break. And why do I still struggle in this area? By itself, it looks like a mistake. But stay patient, the master is at work. Someone far greater than Michelangelo is working on you. Someone far more skilled than Da Vinci, your artist created solar systems, galaxies, sunsets, mountain ranges, all these incredible creations. But what's significant is when God created those things, he said in Genesis chapter 1 that it was good, that he was pleased. But when he created man, that's the only time he said, that was very good. You can imagine when God saw the universe, when he saw these incredible mountain ranges and spectacular sunsets, he knew that was good. But when he created you, he thought, wow, there's a real masterpiece. That's what I call extraordinary, magnificent. Not the solar system, not the Grand Canyon, not the Swiss Alps. That's great, but his most prized possession, what he considers a masterpiece, is you. Sometimes we're striving so hard, trying to fix this, be more of that, stay more focused over there. And yes, I know we have to work with God, but when you recognize it's not up to you to become a masterpiece, that's up to your designer, then you can relax. You can stay in peace in the process, knowing that even though you have some shortcomings, things you don't like, God is working on you. You're right on schedule. You don't have too many flaws, too many imperfections. God has already approved you. He's already called you a masterpiece. He can already see the finished product. He knows exactly what he's making you into. Now take the pressure off yourself. When you're trying to do it all on your own, it's frustrating. Why am I still dealing with this? It's taking so long, and why do I still struggle in this same area? Before long, you're down on yourself, feeling wrong on the inside. That's what slows down the process. Being against yourself is limiting your growth. It's keeping you from God's best. The enemy would love for you to go through life feeling like you don't measure up. You don't deserve to be blessed. Don't believe those lies. You are a masterpiece in the making. God knew everything about you, and he still approves you. He knew every flaw, every shortcoming, and he still accepts you. You don't have too much wrong with you. You haven't made too many mistakes. God has already approved you. He's already said, that was very good. Why don't you start approving yourself? Not when you perform better. Not when you get it all together. Accept yourself while you're in the process of changing. One morning, Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee, and so many people had gathered around. He asked Peter if he could borrow his boat so he could push out from the shore and teach the people. He'd never met Peter, but Peter agreed. After Jesus finished, he told Peter to go back out into the water and he would catch a great haul of fish. Peter had fished all night, caught nothing. Didn't make sense to his mind, but he went back out and caught so many fish that his nets began to break. He had to call another boat over, and they both were so loaded down, they began to sink. Peter came to the shore, and he fell at Jesus' feet and said, Sir, please go away from me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Jesus said to him, Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter was thinking about all of his flaws, all of his shortcomings. He was hot-tempered, loud, impatient. He was a fisherman. They were rough and used strong language. 3 years after he had been following Jesus, he cursed a lady out that said he was a disciple. One time he cut off a soldier's ear trying to defend Jesus. Another time he denied that he knew Christ. The Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked him to stay up and pray, but Peter fell asleep. He didn't have great character, great integrity, loyalty. He didn't come from a background of faith. He was all over the place. When Jesus said, follow me, he thought, Jesus, you have the wrong person. You don't know who I am. I have all these weaknesses. Jesus could have said, you're right, Peter. I should have done a better background check. I didn't know you were going to be cursing people out, and cutting off ears, and denying that you knew me. You're a mess. I better find somebody else. Jesus knew everything about Peter. He knew his shortcomings. He knew every mistake he would make, every time he would fail. But he also knew what Peter could become. We judge people on the outside, but God looks on the inside. He knew Peter was a masterpiece in the making, that he just had to be refined and work with so he could discover who he really was. At one point, Jesus said to him, you are Simon, but you shall be called Peter. Simon represents shifting sand, unstable, inconsistent, but Peter means rock. Of all the people Jesus could have chosen, he said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Here's a man that seems the least likely that God would build a church on. A fisherman with rough language, that compromises, that's hot-tempered. How could this be? Here's the phrase that tells us. Jesus said to Peter, follow me and I will make you. Jesus was saying, Peter, you can't do this on your own. I can see why you're confused. You're looking at your flaws, but I'm looking at your potential. You're looking at your dysfunction, but I'm looking at your destiny. You think you're a mess, but what you can't see is you're a masterpiece. It's not up to you to change yourself, Peter. Follow me, and I will make you. I will refine you. I will favor you. I will give you strength. I will open new doors. I will set you on a better path. I will bring out your talents. I will make you into the masterpiece that I created you to be. When Jesus called Peter, told him in effect, I'm going to do something awesome with your life. I'm going to make you into a person with great character and integrity and discipline. I'm going to cause you to set a new standard and leave your mark. Often we think like Peter. Not me, God. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I struggle with. I still have all these flaws. I still don't perform like I should. God is saying to you what he said to Peter, I will make you. It's not just up to you. Don't worry about what you're dealing with. I'm going to change things. I'm going to breathe my freedom, my healing, my favor, my strength. I'm going to help you do what you can't do on your own. Jesus said, you are Simon, but you shall be called Peter. We get stuck on the you are. You are addicted. You are undisciplined. You are impatient. You are hot-tempered. That's where the enemy would love for you to stop. Look at you, man. You should be down on yourself. You can't get it together. Still dealing with the same things. God is saying, I know what you are right now. I know what you haven't been able to overcome, but stay encouraged. You shall be is on the way. God is going to make you. Not up to you to make yourself. It's up to you to follow him. Keep him first place. Stay pliable, and he will make you. Peter was at this critical point. He'd stayed focused on his flaws and how unworthy he was, how he didn't measure up. We wouldn't be talking about him. He had to shift his focus from thinking he had to change himself to believing that God would change him. When Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you, something switched in his mindset. The pressure is not on all me to do it. He's going to make me. That's when he dropped his nets and followed Jesus. He had to be willing to accept himself, to be at peace with who he was while God was in the process of changing him. Didn't happen overnight. He still had rough edges, but he knew he was a work in progress, that he wasn't a finished product. After Jesus died and rose again, the first church was starting, and they needed someone to give the inaugural address, this very prestigious role. They didn't choose a rabbi, a theologian, the chief priest. They chose Peter. He spoke, and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. Peter was the one that when people got in his shadow, they were healed. This was the man that said, I'm unworthy. The man that said, I don't have it all together. I have too many shortcomings. I'll never measure up. But look what happens when you let God make you. The masterpiece comes out. Well, Joel, I don't know, man. I still struggle in these areas. I should be further along. I'm not as disciplined as I should be. The problem is you're trying to do it all in your own strength. That's pressure. That's when you feel wrong on the inside. That nagging feeling, why can't I do better? Try a different approach. God, I have some flaws. I have weaknesses, but I believe I'm a masterpiece in the making. I know you've approved me. You've accepted me. You've already planned my days for good. Like Peter, I'm going to follow you and let you make me. I'm going to accept myself while you're changing me. I'm going to enjoy the glory that I'm in right now. Psalm 100 says, know with approval, the Lord our God is he who makes us and not we ourselves. You're trying to be a self-made person, do it all on your own, change this, fix this, you're going to struggle. That's a constant battle. But when you let God make you, it takes the pressure off. When you learn to like yourself where you are, knowing that he's in control of the process, how fast it happens, then you can enjoy your life while God is working. When my father passed and I stepped up to pastor the church, I didn't feel qualified. I was insecure and intimidated. And my father had a big personality, and I'm more quiet and reserved. The newspaper said no large church where the son took over ever made it. I overheard a couple people talking about how I wasn't as good as my father. When you're about to step into a new level, the enemy will work overtime to try to make you feel unqualified, unworthy, like you don't measure up. I had to do what I'm asking you to do. I said, God, I know you've raised me up for this time. You said if I follow you, you would make me. I'm looking away from all these distractions, from what I'm not, from what I don't have, from what people have said, and I'm trusting you to get me to where I'm supposed to be. Voices would whisper in the night, you're not qualified. I learned to say, talk to my maker. You're not strong enough. Talk to my maker. You don't have what your father had. Talk to my maker. You need to be more dynamic. Talk to my maker. You can't make yourself into a masterpiece. That's your maker's job. You follow him. Believe what he says about you. Obey that still small voice, and he'll make you into the masterpiece he created you to be. My challenge today is don't go through life against yourself, feeling wrong on the inside because you're not as far along as you should be. Neither was Peter when Jesus called him, but he still became a masterpiece. You have to put on that approval. Know that God is pleased with you right where you are. He's not shaking his head because you're still dealing with some things. He's the one that's going to help you get free. Why don't you accept yourself while he's changing you? Being down on yourself's not going to help you do better. Until you like who you are, even though you have shortcomings, you'll never reach your potential. Take the pressure off. Trying to perform perfectly, then you're going to feel good about who you are. That's going to frustrate you. Do your best and trust God to take care of the rest. He's the potter. He has you on the wheel. Follow him and he will make you. If you'll do this, I believe and declare this is a new day. Things that have hindered you in the past will hinder you no more. You're about to experience a new sense of freedom, wholeness, fulfillment, joy, victory. You will become the masterpiece God created you to be in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, if you can stick with me. Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood, and so many watching and listening. And Lord, we're going out of here today with your approval. Lord, we all have flaws. We all could be further along. But Lord, we trust you as the potter. We're going to start accepting ourselves. Still doing what we can, but Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust your timing. And Lord, I thank you. You'll do for us what you did for Peter. You'll cause us to shine brightly for your glory. Lord, I just speak blessings over all the people as they go out this week, and protection for their children. Help them to excel in school. And Lord, just thank you for your favor, your blessings, and your victory over everyone under the sound of my voice. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? Like Peter, he's saying, follow me and I will make you. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I got people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold and take that step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be others. Anybody else? Up top? Watching, listening? Still time for you. One more clap, Lakewood. They're still standing. Don't want to leave you out. Anybody else? Well, God bless you. And please remain standing if you don't mind. And let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God's never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind all praying this with our friends that are standing? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Or remain standing if you don't mind one more moment, but I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment, just like you go to work, that you're going to be here every Sunday, in person, online, on the radio, however you do it. I'll make a promise to you, your life will never be the same for the better before that year is out. And I know you're busy. You know, Sundays may be a day off. You got other things to do. But there is a blessing on your life when you put God first and you get into a community of faith. We're going to help you grow. After service, there's a room over here called New Beginnings on the lobby area. Anything you need, information, prayer, questions, whatever it is, somebody from Lakewood would love to meet you. You can take the New Beginnings course online. There's classes after the service. Check it out on the web. But we want to help you grow and, like I say, just reach your potential. Know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your mistakes, your sins, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, September 17th, 2023, a new day of victory in your life. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, we love you guys. Let me speak a blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you his favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. See you back real soon.
Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show. Hip Hop's Finest Hour on the radio. Joel Osteen. I'm going to get back to the music, and then I'm going to announce the schedule for this week for the guest appearances.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. with every breath that I am able. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Wanted to say thanks again, Joel Olsen, for being guest appearance on the show today. And then this is this week's guest appearances. So Thursday at 8 p.m., I have Will Smith. And then on Friday at 8 p.m., I have Tom Hanks on the show. And then Saturday, 8 p.m., I have Daddy Hanks. And then again on Sunday, the two-hour special, I'll have Joel Osteen back on the show. So again, this schedule is Thursday at 8 p.m., Will Smith. Friday at 8 p.m., Tom Hanks. Saturday at 8 p.m., Daddy Yankee. Sunday, the two-hour gospel social that I do every single, like I'm doing right now today, it is Joel Osteen again, like I did today. So that is the schedule for the week. Make sure to stay tuned and, you know, definitely check it out. And also, every single episode is recorded. So if you ever catch an episode where you catch part of the episode and you're like, man, I caught this at the wrong time, you can just go to hypnoticshow.com and then you could go and watch what, listen to any one of the shows that you want. And you got a lot of shows on there. So definitely do that. And anybody trying to send music to me to get played here on my show, send it to hypnoticshow@outlook.com. Again, that's hypnoticshow@outlook.com. And then also make sure to, if you're trying to hire me on Cameo, make sure to do that. You can, I can sing happy birthday, send a shout out. Also, make sure to go on K9 Magazine to peep the cover that me and MJ are on for July, or you can go to K9Magazine.com/hypnotic to go directly to the interview there, too. And then also, I want to send a shout out to, and that I'm proud of Liberty, New York Liberty, and Aces, Vegas Aces, are WNBA, the two teams that I have that went to the semifinals. They both actually have gone to the finals now, so they're both my teams are going to be playing each other. So that's going to be fun. I'm very proud of you girls, and it's going to be a great game, great series. And then also, I wanted to send a shout-out to Money Talks Magazine. Make sure to go online and get the newest one, that newest issue that's on Barnes & Noble. Make sure to go on there and grab that. And also go on outthegutter.com to buy my 1,000 copies of my greatest hits CD. It's only 1,000 signed, limited edition.